All right. Good morning. There it went. Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday morning again. I feel like the weeks fly by. Definitely appreciate God and all he's done for us to allow us to come back to this point. He is good all by himself. Let's pray, and then we will hear what the Lord has for us. Father God, this morning we come to you with hearts of appreciation. Lord, we say thank you for our family. Thank you for our friends. Thank you for everything that you've placed in our path to help build us up. God, I pray that you get the glory from each one of our lives. I pray that you will continue to watch over our families and our children, Lord. I pray that you will continue to show yourself mighty, to show yourself strong, and to show yourself as the King of glory. God, we love you. We pray that during these next few moments, Lord, that you will be able to send us a word that we can receive, that will confirm certain things for us, that will help us to experience you more. And I pray that no matter what happens, God, that you and you alone get all the glory. We believe these things by faith. We're so careful to give you all glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture this morning is going to come out of the book of John, St. John, chapter 6. I'm going to start at verse 1. We all, at this point, probably have heard the stories, definitely as children and even now, of when Jesus feeds the 5,000, when Jesus feeds the 4,000. It's absolutely two separate occasions. One of the occasions, there's a boy that has a couple fish and some loaves of bread, and that's the story that we're going to be talking about this morning. And what I really, really want to focus on is it's better to go through with Jesus. It's better to go through a situation through life with God than to go through without him. And most people can amen that. And most people can say absolutely. But my question back to that thought is, why do we choose so many times to do it by ourselves? Why when I get bad news, why when I'm worried or angry or fearful or whatever the emotion may be, why is it sometimes, I'll speak for myself, why is it sometimes for me that God is the absolute last one I look to? Why do I get worried and scared for hours or days or weeks or whatever it may be? And finally, at my wit's end, I say, God, I need that peace. And God, being a good, good father, absolutely gives it to me. And he looks back and doesn't condemn me, but lets me know, hey, Alan, you didn't have to do it that way. You didn't have to experience being afraid and being worried and doubtful and wondering how you're going to pay the bills or wondering how this was going to happen and all that. You didn't have to do the work. I'm a good father. And this morning, I believe God is wanting to show us through his scripture how good he truly is. I believe he's wanting to show us that, listen, he will supply our every need. And John chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. Your Bible may say sick. Verse 3, and Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Verse 6, but this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? Jesus sits down with his disciples and he says, listen, there's a lot of people here. There's some magnificent things going on, but the people have a physical need. They're hungry. He asked one of the disciples, listen, where can we buy this much bread at? This version says 200 denarii worth of bread. That's equivalent to about, I think my last time I looked at it, about $3,200, $3,500 worth of today's money bread. That's a lot of bread. That's a lot of money that needs to be spent to accommodate these people. And what I love about Jesus is that sometimes he'll ask you and me questions, not because he doesn't know the answer, but because he wants you and me to figure out the answer. I know sometimes working with our kids, Alex works with Isabel and Joshua pretty much every day with their schoolwork. And sometimes when I get home, I get the pleasure of helping them with some math. And I just want to scream at them and tell them the answer, but I try to let them work through. And sometimes when I let them work the process and work what they've been taught, they'll come up with the right answer. And you can see their eyes just light up with joy and accomplishment because they were able to work the problem. And as a father, that brings me joy because I didn't just have to give it to them. They worked for it and they figured it out themselves. You see, sometimes in life, God didn't want to come down with his lightning rod and perform a miracle because he wants us to work through the process. He wants us to figure it out for ourselves, not because he's trying to keep anything from us, but he knows that we're going to have times in our life where we face trials and tribulation and loss and worry and doubt, that we need to have that on the inside of us. You see, God is a good, good father. And when Jesus was asking the disciple, listen, where can we get all this bread? It's going to cost all this money. He knew what he was about to do, but he wanted the disciples to look at it from their vantage point. And one of the disciples says, listen, Jesus, there's a lad here that has some fish and has 5 loaves of bread. You see, when Jesus asked the question, what I find absolutely amazing is that the disciples didn't have to say, hey, let us go around and see what's going on. Let us go around and walk to each person and walk around the crowd and let's see if we can find anything in this story and the story that when Jesus feeds the 5,000 in this story and the 4,000 in the next story, when Jesus says, listen, what do you have? The disciples immediately answer his question. I began to ponder that. I began to think about it. And I'm like, God, how did they already know what they had? How did they already know there's a kid there or a young boy that has these fish and loaves? And in the other story, how did they know what was there? And God instantly, after I talked to him about it, gave me an answer. And the answer is they were already looking at the problem. You see, you and me sometimes look at the problem before we look at Jesus. The reason the disciples knew that there was a boy there that had some loaves and had a few fish is because they were already worried. They were already trying to work the problem, but they looked at the problem with natural eyes. They looked at the problem and with an opinion or with an attitude of we don't have enough. How many of us this morning or when we hear this message look at what we have now and we say, God, it's not enough? Or a lot of us just think to ourselves, it's not enough. It's not going to make ends meet. Me and Alex, several years ago, I remember walking on the hill above where we live now, and I told her how much money we make is not going to pay the bills. She instantly looks at me and she says, but God will make a way. And hallelujah, she was right, but I was so busy looking at the problem, I forgot to look to the Savior. I forgot to look to the one that owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. I forgot to look at the one that makes crooked paths straight, that makes water in the desert. I forgot to look at the one that created the universe. And in these stories, I believe the reason the disciples knew the answer of what they had is because they were already worried. They were already scared. They were already trying to make a way that made sense. They were already trying to give an excuse for Jesus. You see, how many of us know that God doesn't need an excuse? God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you or me could possibly ask, think, or imagine. God is good. God's waiting on us to understand how good he is. You see, if I understand that God is good, and if I'm paying my tithes and my offerings, and I'm doing the things that God has asked me to do, God has commanded me to do, then I know that God is not a liar, that God will open the windows of heaven, and God will pour me out a blessing that I'm not able to possibly imagine. You see, because he's a good father. This morning, I want to encourage you that if you get some news about your health or a family member gets some news about your health, that you and me serve a God that we don't have to worry before we go to him. We can just take it straight to him. Not because he doesn't know, but to show him that, God, I trust you with this news. God, I trust you with my husband. God, I trust you with my wife. God, I trust you with my business. And not only do I trust you with it, it's okay that I'm looking at the problem. You see, Jesus doesn't beat the disciples up for looking at the problem. He doesn't say, oh, you of little faith, go to the pits of hell. He doesn't say, listen, you're worried and you're concerned that you don't have enough. I cast you from my presence. Absolutely not. Jesus deals with the issue at hand. He tells the disciples, listen, what do you have? Because he already knew they were looking at the problem. He already knew they were looking at the natural. He already knew that they thought there was no way out of this situation. And Jesus met them right where he was. He met each disciple right where they were physically and mentally. He met the woman at the well right where she was. He met the man at the pool of Bethesda right where he was. He met the lady carrying her dead son in a coffin right where she was. And hallelujah, this morning, he met a drug addicted, a man that could care less what God said, right where I was. And I know many of us can testify that he met me right where I was, but why do we forget that God in his goodness met us while we wouldn't even call upon his name, while we wouldn't even give him any glory, any praise? He saw fit to save us because the Bible says that it is God's goodness that leads men to repentance. And Jesus said, no man can come to me unless the Father first calls him. The only reason that you and me have life and life eternal with Jesus is because the Father called you and me this morning. That's good news. It's good news in my sin. It's good news in my not caring about anything in the world, that God saw fit to call me back to himself. And he saw fit to call you. Don't forget that he's the one that initiated this thing. In his love and in his mercy, he initiated it. The goodness of God. I'll speak on it till the day I die, because some of us look at God like he's Zeus in heaven with lightning bolts ready to punish us. That's not the God that I serve. And I'm telling you this morning, it is not the God that you serve. He is good. His mercy is renewed daily. That means every single day that you and me get up, it's brand new. He delights in giving us that mercy. What kind of father is he? He's good all by himself. When he tells the disciples, listen, what do you have? He knew they were looking at the problem. That's the reason they could give him a straight answer without having to go around and try to figure out the problem. Jesus said, all right, listen, sit them down. Until 30 minutes ago, I really had no idea why Jesus told the disciples to sit the people down. In closing this morning, have you ever tried to count people for a birthday party or whatever it may be, a church function, whatever it is, and everybody's walking around a room? It's really, really hard to do because everybody's moving. You might count some twice. You might count some three times. You might not count one or two people or several people. You see, the reason I believe that Jesus told the disciples to sit them down in different groups, one of the reasons, because I believe there's a few reasons, is that Jesus wanted to show the disciples his goodness. He wanted to sit them down so the disciples were not confused at all about the work that they had just seen done. He wanted them to see the miracle of God. He wanted them to acknowledge it, and he wanted them to acknowledge that they were looking at the problem, and Jesus, in his goodness, came with a solution. And hallelujah, this morning, the difference in the two miracles, I believe there's a big difference. And in the story we're reading in John right here, there was a boy that had some fish and some loaves of bread, and Jesus used that to perform a miracle. In the other story, when Jesus feeds the 4,000, the disciples are the one that said, listen, this is the bread that we have. I believe what God is screaming to us this morning. I believe what God is wanting to reveal to you and me this morning is one way Jesus did the miracle, one way God did the miracle, through the boy that had the fish and the loaves of bread, the next time he did it with what he already had. Brothers and sisters, this morning I want you to know that whether God chooses to bless you through somebody or some people, it is the same power, it is the same anointing, it is the same miracle that if he chooses to heal you, to bless you through what he already has. You see, the miracles came through the boy one time, but it came through what Jesus already had the second time. You see, this morning, I believe God is screaming to us. God is yelling to us in his goodness that he wants us to know, I am good. I can do a miracle through a doctor. Or I can do a miracle through the laying on of hands. I can provide for you through whatever means that I choose, or I can call on somebody to bless you. That's why it's so important for you and me to hear the voice of the Lord. Because what if God's telling us to bless or to sow a seed or to help this person or that person? Because sometimes God chooses to do it through you and me, not to only bless that person, but to bless you and me. He wants us to acknowledge. In other words, he wants us to see the people sit down so that we can acknowledge the miracle that God has performed. He is good. He absolutely, absolutely is exactly who he says he is. Yesterday, I tried like everything not to tell the story. But yesterday, I got a call. One of my really, really good friends. I consider him my brother. And boy, he can sing. Good God Almighty, he can sing. He had experienced some problems with his vocal cords, and had went to the doctor and got a report and had to go to Vanderbilt. And me and the family went together, and we prayed a couple nights ago when we called him on the phone. And so he goes to Vanderbilt yesterday, and he calls me after he gets out. And he says, well, I'm going to mess up the way he says it just because it's so good to me. Oh, I remember. He said, listen, Alan, he said, my treatment plan is going to be, it's going to be pretty simple. And I was like, okay, you know, some good news. Praise the Lord. You know, what's going on? I said, well, what's the plan going to be? I said, why is it going to be so simple? And I'm paraphrasing here. And he said, it's going to be really simple because nothing's there. You see, God in his goodness, God chose to do a miracle in my brother's life where he goes through the situation. And I know it was hard. And I know he was worried because I was worried and I was scared and many, many emotions. But God in his goodness saw fit when my brother went to the doctor and they said, listen, there's nothing there. There's nothing wrong. And to the glory of God, this Sunday, he'll get back on the praise team, back on the worship team, and give glory to God because God is the one that deserves it all. And you see, I think to myself, I was like, God, why couldn't you just have performed the miracle and not let it ever have happened? Why couldn't, at the very first discomfort he had, just healed him instantly when we began to pray? Why couldn't it have been that way? And I don't have an answer, except sometime God chooses to do it different. Sometimes God lets us go through the emotions to show us where we're at. And this morning, I'm not ashamed that I was worried. I'm not ashamed that I was scared. But I do look at it and wish I would have handled it differently. And I believe that when Jesus fed these people through the boy, and then the next time he fed it through the way of means that they already had, I believe it was to show us to just believe God. Don't limit him and say, God, okay, you do it this way. Because my brother gets to sing in a couple days on Sunday morning. I know that God went in and did that miracle. Not because I prayed, because God is good. And I want to encourage you today to know that God is good. And the same God that fed these people is the same God that healed my brother. He's the same God that will make sure your bills are paid. He's the same God that will bless your business, that will keep you safe, that will perform whatever word he's given you. Because the Bible says that God watches over his word.
And if God is watching over his word, I promise you, he is faithful and just to perform exactly what he's told you this morning. Let's pray. God, I thank you. I thank you that Stacelyn will get to sing to your glory this Sunday. And God, I thank you that you fed these 5,000 people. And I thank you that you fed these 4,000 people. But God, I'm so grateful that you did it two different ways. I'm so grateful that you've shown us that whatever way you choose is the right way, God. And we don't have to box you in. We can just say yes. God, I say yes if you want to do it this way or if you want to do it that way. Whatever your way is the way that we say yes to, God. So we yield to you this morning and we give you the glory and we give you the praise because you and you alone are worthy. Lord, I pray that you will continue to open our understanding. I pray that you will continue to give us ears to hear the Spirit of the Lord. Because God, I believe that some of us are that boy at times. That you want to bless people through us. And we say yes to that. We yield to you and we say yes. We have open ears to hear what the Spirit of the living God is saying. And God, we praise you. We give you glory and honor. Thank you for our word, God. Thank you for our word that redeems us, that strengthens us, that helps us. And thank you, Lord, I believe for your confirmation of words that you've already spoken to us. By faith, we consider these things done. We give you glory, praise, and honor because you are the good, good Father. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.